Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message, A Star with His Own Star. The title of the message today is A Star with His Own Star. When I was in California, years and years ago, I saw the Walk of Fame. The Walk of Fame is a street where stars got to have a star placed in the pavement as a reminder of their fame and fortune. There are 2,500 stars along the 15-block walk of all different famous singers, actors, theatrical groups, and such. Some recent Hall of Fame inductees were Will Ferrell, Daniel Radcliffe, Paul Rudd, Snoopy, Bobby Flay, Seth MacFarlane, Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory, Kool & the Gang, one of the bands that I like, Pitbull, and Pharrell Williams. It's a famous walk, and there are stars galore there. But who or what is the most famous star? The star that we hear about the most. There's a star that we all talk about every single year. It is a star like no other because it led wise people to the greatest star of the ages. It is greater than any Hollywood star tour that one person could take. It is the star that led the wise men to the one and only Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jesus is a star with his own star. He may not have a star on the Walk of Fame or be recognized in Hollyweird, but every year his star is recognized in December and is an important part of our history, whether we are saved or not saved. Today, if you're following along in your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to start off in verse 1. It says in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." The first question in the New Testament, which is awesome. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We grow up believing there were three wise men, when in fact most scholars believe there could have been 100 or more wise men in this caravan. But there are three gifts, and honestly, we really don't know how many wise men there were. When they saw the star in the east, remember though, it's actually the star in the east and they are traveling west. So it's actually the star of the west if you're looking at it geographically. Astronomers have issues with which star it is. Some say it was in alignment with Saturn and Jupiter, but that doesn't fit the description. The men were on a long journey. They didn't see it when they got there, and it looks like they traveled close to a year. The star goes before them. It reappears in the verses here, so they saw it and they rejoice. Now note here, and this is interesting, the star made a left and went south to hang over Bethlehem. Stars don't make left turns. This is a supernatural event. So these supposed heathen, wise men, saw his star and also came to worship him. Verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. Herod the king is Herod the Great here. Some of his construction in Israel is still standing today, and you can see it when you are there. Herod was a genius. The small stones that were used in buildings in Herod's construction were 2.5 tons. Those were the small stones. While the largest ones that were moved into place were over 600 tons and are leveled without mortar. 8 foot long, 10 foot high, and 10 foot thick. His summer home was in Masada near the Dead Sea, and he has an amazing water system there. The water was in a hot area, which was his sauna. Then as the water traveled through the steam room, it went into an area where you could take a warm swim or you could take a bath. Then the water would travel through, and they would use the lukewarm water for simply everyday uses like washing dishes and different things. Then it would go through the process again from hot to warm to lukewarm. It's an amazing feat. This is a picture of me on top of Masada, where his vacation home was. He built a temple there too, and the Jewish temple, or it was called Herod's temple. The bad part in his leadership was he was terribly insecure, which was dangerous for anyone around him. He got his position like most. He swindled people in Rome and was placed in Judea. He had 3 wives and was paranoid, so his wife he loved the most, Miriam, he murdered, then murdered 3 of his sons and many of his servants because he was afraid they would take his power away. He was so paranoid that Caesar said it'd be safer to be his pig than his son, and there was good reason for this. You see, Herod traced his roots to Idumea and believed himself to be a part of Abraham's bloodline. He didn't eat pork, but he also believed he was the real king of the Jews because of this discovery. 3 of his sons endured through it, Archelaus, Herod Antipas, and Herod Philip, who was a tetrarch in the area of Galilee. This is the guy who started it. Herod was under 5 feet tall. As if you look at history, there are 4 men who almost conquered the world, and they were all short. Hitler, Napoleon, Attila the Hun, who would not get off his horse, so he would look intimidating because he was short, and Genghis Khan. All short men, but very dangerous. So that's why it says when he is troubled and all of Jerusalem is troubled with him, because when a guy like this gets troubled, it can lead to a lot of trouble. He was so worried that people would not mourn on his death that he took over 100 men from all over the districts of Jerusalem prisoner on his death, and they were credible men. They were people that were considered pillars in the community or famous in some way, and on the day of his death he was going to put them to death so there would be mourning on the day that he died. He would have mourning as all those Jewish nobles would be slaughtered, and they would be mourning with, what a nut job, this guy's crazy. Archelaus had a great idea that he died, because when he died he gave them back the men to gain favor with the people, as he was the captain of the guard, so even his son knew he was a nut job. But ultimately, we see the wise men asking, where is the king of the Jews? Then Herod would say, well, I'm the king of the Jews, and use that as a title. But they were looking for the real king of the Jews, Jesus, and now he is greatly disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. Verse 4. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Asked, the NIV is lenient. He actually demanded, where is this Messiah to be born? You better tell me. Verses 5 through 6. Of course they're going to tell him because he's crazy. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. This is interesting. It's an interesting record because, note, it is before Matthew the tax collector, who is writing this, actually came into knowing Jesus. This account came into word because only the 71 of the Sanhedrin would know this account. Now, this scene took place amongst the Sanhedrin, and the only way we could have this record is because of Levi, the tax collector's connections with the Romans and the leaders. Because of Matthew's position as a tax collector, he heard account from the Romans of Herod freaking out and gathering the religious leaders to figure out what was happening. Jesus wasn't born yet. Joseph and Mary aren't there, so just like the resurrection morning where Matthew gives us detailed accounts of things that happened to Roman soldiers because he was tied in with them and had friends there. Eyewitnesses saw this and encountered it, then they told Matthew about it. People like to say the Bible's not real because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are so different. But they're different accounts for a reason. Matthew was an account mainly addressed to the Jew, and there are hundreds of Old Testament verses in his account to lead a Jew to Jesus. Mark, he wrote to the slave, and there were 60 million slaves at that time. One in every four people in the empire at that time were slaves. So it is simply written. It is straight and to the point. Dr. Luke wrote his account to the Gentile and wanted to reach the Gentile world. He also continued the account in his next book, the Book of Acts. Then all of those together are called the Synoptic Gospels because they all have a lot of the same accounts but are expressed differently to different people socially. John's Gospel is the one we have new believers read first, because the main focus of the book is to have the person come to the conclusion, is Jesus the Messiah or isn't he? Verse 7 says, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Magi, the Chaldeans. This is neat because during the Babylonian exile, Daniel worked with astrologers, magicians, and sorcerers, the Bible says. They all used their dark arts to do things, but Daniel did not use those things but relied on God. Well, Daniel had his own sect of these guys. When he was leading, he led those guys, and I would think these wise men knew about Messiah coming, as they probably learned it at some point from one of Daniel's guys. Numbers. Balak was paranoid because the Israelites were having great victories, and he hired a guy named Balaam from the area of the Euphrates and the same area where Daniel was. Balaam, as he tried to curse the children of Israel every time he opened his mouth, God, through his spirit, would have him bless them instead. Numbers 24:17 says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come back out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheth. So from the mouth of a prophet from the Euphrates, where Daniel was, as well, a prophecy concerning a star coming out of Israel. Daniel was in Babylon, and Gabriel spoke to him there, and Daniel was given and prophesied down to the day where Jesus would ride into Jerusalem. Many believe that Daniel had his own order of Chaldeans, and part of the prophecies that Daniel never recorded, those group of people would know, and they would now come to Jerusalem from that area. They don't say, is there a king born here? They say, where is the king of the Jews? I assume the star had appeared possibly 2 years ago from this point, as Herod killed all the babies under 2 years old to be sure. Verse 8. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. Liar! Verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. The star appears again, and it goes southwest. It's not a baby. Jesus is not a baby at this time. Jesus is a child, a two-year-old child. That's another thing that we don't see when we get to the manger scene at Christmas. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Not a baby, a child, a two-year-old child, a star with his own star. Some scholars also like to throw another theory out there too. The star could have possibly been an angel shining in the sky to lead the wise men along the way, because stars don't move. They stay in place, and that is why men navigated by them, because they knew if they needed to go north, they could reliably follow the North Star. Either way, it was a supernatural and miraculous couple of years, because a star was born, a star with his own star. Today, sadly, though it seems people are led by the wrong stars. There are some who follow numerology, horoscopes, and other forms of predictions that are made by the stars. When the word is clear in Isaiah 47, it says, Keep on then with your magic spells, with your many sorceries which you have labored at since childhood. Perhaps you will succeed. Perhaps you will cause terror. All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the power of the flame. These are not the coals for warmth. This is not a fire to sit by. That is all they are to you. These who have dealt with and labored with since childhood, all of them go on in their error. There is not one that can save you. The stars can't save us. Horrible scopes can't change us. Only Jesus can. And he knows the future, and your future is bleak if you follow the occult. Then we also tend to follow trends and the famous stars when they have something to say. The U.S. mass media has a way of shaping and molding people's opinions and views throughout our country and the world. So much so some Christians will take those views and opinions and mold them into theology and take them into the churches and make them doctrine. This has molded their Messiah and has taken the Bible out of the equation or parts that they disagree with and made a Messiah of money, or openly free opinions based upon opinion, and not the foundation of Scripture. They are following the wrong star. I recently talked with a friend of mine about this, and he had quite the controversial view on the Bible. He said Jesus is still his Lord, small l, in the writing, but he believes certain sections of Scripture and even whole books of the Bible should be removed to accommodate today's views. I know of whole denominations that take one subject out of the Bible. They attempt to follow everything else, but will wholeheartedly disagree with that one subject to conform to their lifestyles. Then, as I've watched people over the years conform to their unbiblical practices and theologies, I've seen them not excel in their relationships with God, but fall back many times and struggle. Because you can't mix and match stars. And that's the difficult thing that is going on with people today. Because honestly, there are people in the churches all throughout the world who don't even open their Bibles. There are people in churches in other countries who would die, who would lose a section of their body just so they could have a Bible. And then there are people who are in the churches who would say, well, you know, they can have mine because I don't even read mine. It's sad. You know, people will come around and they'll tell me what they believe, and they'll say that God believes it too. Well, God believes this. Okay, well, guess what? God believes it? Okay. Where is it in the Bible? Oh, it's not in the Bible. Where did you hear it from? Well, I heard it on television over the past few years, and you know, this person was saying it, and this is what they were saying, and you know, that makes me feel good. So I think that, you know, since they said it and you know, all these things, I should believe it. Okay, that's fine. You go ahead and believe that. But don't tell me that's what the Bible says. Don't tell me that's what God would want you to believe, or that's what God believes, because he doesn't believe that. He gave us a book so that we would understand and know what he believes. And it's a book that bridges a gap between that time and today's time. There are things in this book, half of them have been prophesied and fulfilled, and the other half have not been fulfilled yet. But what saddens me is there's just people in this world today, and they don't read the Bible. They don't open a Bible. And then they'll go around telling everybody, well, this is what God believes, and I believe it too. You know, or even if they're a Buddhist, they don't even read Buddhist books. Or if they're, you know, a Scientologist, they won't even open up Dianetics. Or, you know, I've met Buddhist people, I've met Hindu people, and they've said, well, I'm a Hindu. Okay, well, why are you a Hindu? Well, my mom and dad were Hindus. Okay, well, tell me about your faith. Tell me about your religion. I really don't know much about my religion. You know, well, what's that necklace around your neck? Oh, that's Shiva. Well, tell me about Shiva. I don't really know much about Shiva. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Know your Bible. Know your God. Know what's right. Know what's wrong. Know what he wants you to know. And if you don't, then just don't say anything. But thank God that there are people who are searching. You know, these wise men, they were searching, they were looking for answers. Thank God they were doing that. You know, there are so many people that I know and I'm friends with, and they don't know Christ yet, but they're searching. And they're looking. And they're doing all different crazy things, and they're involved in crazy stuff. But you know what that tells me? It tells me they're searching. It tells me they are looking. And that keeps me hoping. Let's pray. Father, I pray for people right now who are searching. I pray for people who are looking for the right answers. I pray for people who are looking for you. And I ask, Father, that you would move in their hearts. And as they are searching through crazy things and messed up things, Lord, I ask that you would lead them to the right thing. I ask that they would be led to you, and they would come to know you, and that you would work in their hearts, and that you would work in their lives. Father, I thank you for that. I give you praise for that. You're an awesome God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the social media page and go to the podcast section. And you can listen to us on Podomatic or iTunes. And you can subscribe. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a great day. And don't forget, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.